This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون أما بعد. Brothers and sisters, late last night I came back from a 4-day trip to Turkey to see firsthand what is going on there and to help, inshallah ta'ala, deliver some of the aid that we raised here in this very masjid. I was there for a short trip, 4 days only. But the sights that I saw, the people that I met, were so overwhelming. On the plane ride back, I began to jot down some points of benefit for myself. And I thought that inshallah, this actually might be a benefit to give a khutbah about. So today's brief khutbah and reminder, first and foremost to myself and then to my brothers and sisters, 7 lessons that I personally felt after witnessing the tragedy that took place in that land. Point number one, as I traveled through some of the epicenters, I went to Marash, which is one of the epicenters of where the earthquake took place, and to Urfa and others. Seeing hundreds of buildings still collapsed, driving through the cities and seeing tents upon tents of people wherever they could find a place, public parks converted into tents, I realized the fragility of what we consider to be taken for granted. How quickly our civil society, how quickly our infrastructure, how quickly what we take for granted can simply be taken away from us. The entire city was destroyed. Hundreds, if not thousands, of buildings in rubbles. And as you look into the buildings, you can see the clothes, you can see the children's toys, you can see the mattresses and the furniture still there. And there was a scent coming from those buildings, and the people next to me said, "This is the bodies that have not yet been recovered. I recognize this scent from other sites." How quickly, brothers and sisters, that which we take for granted can be taken away from us. The people who are living comfortable lives. These are established cities. This is a civilization. These are middle class, upper middle class people. They didn't expect anything to happen to them. And instantaneously, in less than a minute or two, when that earthquake hit, the taxi driver that took me from Istanbul Airport to pray in Hagia Sophia, I told him I'm here on behalf of the community helping whatnot. He began to cry. He said in sign language, because I couldn't speak Turkish, he said 4 relatives of his were sleeping and the building fell down on them, and he's crying that they passed away and we don't know their bodies yet. 4 relatives of his living in Gaziantep. The reality of what we take for granted simply being taken away from us. How quickly life as we know it can turn around. And subhanAllah, brothers and sisters, we think this is far away over there. Have we forgotten here in our own cities? Have we forgotten Katrina that took place? Have we forgotten these natural calamities? They don't differentiate between first world and third world. They don't differentiate between your citizenship and your nation state. These are calamities that strike globally. And when they befall, then subhanAllah, everything as you know it comes to an end. And that's why of the things that we benefit from, to appreciate that which we take for granted. COVID already gave us a sense of that, but we are now returning to our complacency. We are now returning to our sense of entitlement. And that is a very dangerous sense. We should forever be humble for the blessings that Allah has given us. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us that when we see somebody in pain, somebody in tragedy, we should also benefit from that. How so? He said, when you see somebody in tragedy, you should say to yourself, Alhamdulillah, alladhi afana mimma btalaka bihi, wa faddalana ala kathirin mimman khalaqa tafdila. Say thanks to Allah. Alhamdulillah, I have not been tested. Allah is testing you. Alhamdulillah, I have not been tested. And Allah has protected me, and Allah has preferred me and chosen me over many, many, many of mankind. We are taught to learn a spiritual blessing, to extract a moral benefit, you yourself should feel humbled. You yourself should feel a sense of awe, appreciation. When you see others that are in pain and hurt, don't look to them with the eyes of entitlement. No, rather have a sense of humility. Say, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Allah has protected me. Alhamdulillah, Allah has given me what He has not given many of mankind. This is the sentiment that came to me as I'm looking upon this reality of this disaster and earthquake and tragedy. Point number two, brothers and sisters, of the things that I realized and appreciated, looking at this communal tragedy, all of a sudden it dawned upon me the big difference between a personal tragedy and a communal tragedy. You know, almost all of my tragedies up until now have been personal. Something happens to me, but society as a whole is still going on. Alhamdulillah, I have not witnessed civil war. I have not witnessed entire cities collapsing. But when an entire city collapses, the level of tragedy is compounded beyond what we can imagine. And in this, I actually found solace and comfort that, you know what, any personal tragedy that happens to me, Alhamdulillah, the infrastructure is still there. Even if I am sick, something happens to me, may Allah protect all of us. My wife, my children, my society is up and running. To see disaster strike an entire city. And you know, those of us in Dallas, we got a little bit of taste of that 2 years ago when the coal freeze happened, right? When all civil services came to a shut, we couldn't call 911. When some of us needed severe help and nothing happened, we got a little sense of that. Imagine an entire city, imagine a country overwhelmed with a natural calamity. The entire resources of that country, despite the fact it is a developed country, it's difficult to maintain hundreds of thousands of homeless people. How are you going to feed instantaneously hundreds of thousands of homeless? So this made me appreciate that any tragedy that happens in our personal lives, it is infinitesimally small compared to a tragedy that happens at a community level. And this also made me appreciate a dua that the Prophet ﷺ would say when he recited a verse of the Quran. I thought of this dua, I thought of this ayah when I was looking at this tragedy. Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Al-An'am, قُلْ هُوَ الْقَادِرُ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَبْعَثَ عَلَيْكُمْ عَذَابًا مِّنْ فَوْقِكُمْ أَوْ مِّنْ تَحْتِ أَرْجُلِكُمْ أَوْ يَلْبِسَكُمْ شِيعًا فَيُذِيقَ بَعْضُكُمْ بَأْسَ بَعْضٍ. Our Prophet ﷺ, when he heard this ayah being recited by one of the companions, the verse translates, by the way, remind them, Allah is capable of sending you a punishment from the heavens. When the Prophet ﷺ heard this, he said, I seek refuge in Allah, I seek refuge in your face, O Allah, we don't want this. Then the ayah goes on, or from under the earth, meaning an earthquake. The Prophet ﷺ said, I seek refuge in you, O Allah, from this ever happening. The ayah goes on, or we can cause you to fight one another. And the Prophet ﷺ said, that is much easier to deal with. In other words, he did not say, I seek refuge in Allah, the way that he did for the first two calamities. Looking at the tragedy that I saw, this ayah and the prophetic response gained a whole new meaning for me. Why did the Prophet ﷺ say, personal tragedies, ذَلِكَ أَهْوَنَ, it's easier to deal with. Because a personal tragedy, a calamity between two people, even between two groups of people, it is much, much more manageable. You can handle it compared to a tragedy that comes globally or a tragedy that comes upon your entire community. And this is the reality as well of what Allah references in Surah Al-Quraysh as well. That Allah Azza wa Jalla says, لِإِلَافِ قُرَيْشِ. The Quraysh should thank Allah for the blessings He has given them. Of those blessings, أَطْعَمَهُم مِّن جُوعٍ وَآمَنَهُم مِّن خَوْفٍ. Of the greatest blessings, you have enough food and you're not worried about your safety. Communal safety, that safety that we take for granted, it is of the biggest blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. So what I appreciated from this, my second point, is that no matter how big of a tragedy happens to us at an individual level, subhanallah, we thank Allah that the tragedy is not taking up the entire society, the entire family. Wallahi, brothers and sisters, seeing hundreds of families, seeing fathers unable to take care of their children properly, can you imagine that feeling? Can you imagine how a man would feel when his wife, when his children, he cannot provide for them, there's nothing he can do? So looking at this made me appreciate any calamity that happens to me and you at an individual level. May Allah protect us from any calamity at the communal level. The third point that I it resonated with me. And this is a bit personal, and I'm not trying to, astaghfirullah, say anything other than what, don't read into what I'm trying to say. But I'll be honest with you, I felt a sense of shame in myself. I felt a sense of embarrassment in myself. Alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed me to be studying this religion for 30 years full time. Alhamdulillah, I'm aware of so many sciences and I've studied so many. But you know, meeting these people who know nothing of what I know, they haven't studied fiqh, tafsir, hadith, I swear to you, and I'm being honest here, I felt a sense of shame in their presence. Their iman was way beyond anything that I think I could ever aspire to. And it made me appreciate the difference between raw knowledge and between pure iman. And the two are not the same. Innocent people, farmers, peasants, whatever they might be, and the level of yaqeen, the level of tawakkul they had, I felt as if I'm standing in front of giants in iman, even though they had never studied the religion as I had studied it. Brother Mustafa from Idlib, I remember, I have a picture of him, I might post it online. All of this with permission, they gave me permission to tell their stories and post their pictures. When we gave him some of the aid from our masjid, so happy, smiling, beaming. I talked to him, where are you from? Oh, I'm from the city of Idlib. Oh, Syria, mashallah, what are you doing here? I fled the civil war 10 years ago. 10 years ago, you fled with your family. He said, I began a new life, started from scratch. We had a start apartment. I was working manual labor here and there. And now, subhanAllah, we are back to zero. And as he's telling me this, he's smiling as if he's giving me good news. We are back to zero again. And I was in shock, like, can you imagine somebody traveling or fleeing civil war, fleeing with their wife and children, and then starting from scratch, only to have everything that he's built start from scratch again. He told me when the earthquakes hit, I took my wife and kids, ran outside. We thought we'll be back in 20, 30 minutes. It's been 10 days, I've been sleeping in the park. What's left? Nothing. I just took my wife and kids, and alhamdulillah, I have my family, that's all I need, alhamdulillah. The amount of yaqeen, tawakkul, happiness. I met Sister Noura from Halab, from Syria. And she was a widow with two young daughters. And I spoke to her about her family, her situation. She also had fled the civil war. Her husband had been tortured in that region in Syria. Then they had come and he passed away. I'm assuming because of the torture, he didn't get into detail. He passed away soon after they came. So she was making ends meet, you know, cleaning houses, whatever. And same thing, khalas, back to zero. And I asked her, Ya Amma, my aunt, Ya Amma, yani, what is going to be the future now? Where are you going to go from here? And she just looked at me with a calmness and she said, Allah will take care of me. And when she said that, I just felt a sense of awe. Where does this iman come from? And I wondered, honestly, would I have that level of conviction? Would I have that level of optimism and trust? Allah will take care of me. That level of simple, raw iman, I swear to you, and I'm not, astaghfirullah, trying to burn, it put me to shame. And I wondered, of what use is mere studying? Of what use is quoting quotations when these people have a level of iman I can only just imagine? I cannot even fathom how they get it from. And so this taught me a lesson in humility. It taught me that there are so many people out there, subhanAllah, they might not have studied the books, they might not have trained, but Allah has blessed them with a level of tawakkul, ikhlas, yaqeen, iman, sabr, that we should be in awe of, and perhaps that is why Allah is testing them to raise their ranks even higher. The fourth benefit, and again, all of this is for myself and whoever wishes to benefit from this. It reminded me of a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, going to these areas, seeing the people around. You don't come back the same person, really you don't. When you see such tragedy, such pain, it has an impact on you that is difficult to put into words. The video footage doesn't do the same job as you being there, seeing the realities. And it reminded me of a hadith of a Bedouin who came to the Prophet ﷺ complaining, Ya Rasulullah, my heart is hard. What should I do? My heart is qaswat al-qalb. And the Prophet ﷺ said, if you wish to soften your heart, if you wish to talinu qalbak, you wish your heart to become soft, go find an orphan and hug him. And go find a hungry person and give him food to eat. To physically interact with people outside of your socioeconomic bubble. To get out of your comfort zone. And to be involved with segments of humanity that you typically do not interact with. It changes your perspective of life. SubhanAllah, one of the things that we did from, alhamdulillah, the funds we raised here is that we made sure we're going to get toys for the children. You know, these children, some of them are orphans now. We gave them toys. And we gave this little girl, you know, a doll set, you know, to play with. They had nothing else to do. She was so happy after all the toys were distributed. She came up to me and she hugged me. She said, "Ya Am, Jazakallah khair for making me so happy today. This is my Eid today." A toy set that would cost $5, $10. And she's beaming with pleasure. And she's so happy that she got something like this. It made me almost break down into tears in front of her. Something we take for granted. But subhanAllah, when you're there yourself, you see the situation. And that is why my advice to all of you, myself and all of you. You know, unfortunately, we live in a land where many of us are disconnected from poverty. Many of us, we don't see people living difficult lives. Even though, by the way, there are people with difficult lives even in this city and everywhere. But we live disconnected from them. We go to fancy fundraisers with, mashallah, chandeliers. We write our checks to, you know, the multi-million dollar organizations, which is fine. Of course, they need, you know, these types of things. But my advice to myself and all of you, make an effort to go to people physically and help them out one-on-one. Make an effort to see the reality of how other segments of mankind live. Make an effort. If you cannot do so here, then if you go back home or something, find families you can help one-on-one. And what that does is not just the check writing and sending it over. It gives you a component of humanity, of being somebody who's helping others. It gives you a sense that you will never be able to get by simply writing a check and giving it in. Please don't misunderstand me. Please continue to write checks. We need that. But some of your charity, some of it should be personal. Some of it, you go find an actual family that is in need. Go find an orphan. Go find a refugee family here in the city and see how you can help them out one-on-one. Follow the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this regard. It's not just this hadith. Abu Dharr al-Ghifari said, "I came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asked him for advice. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised me, love the masakin and sit with them, wajalishum. Love the poor people and sit with them. And always look to those who are less fortunate than you. And don't look to those who have more than you." This is a hadith of the Prophet of Abu Dharr al-Ghifari. When he came for advice, what was the advice? Love the masakin. Have in your heart a love for poor people. And don't just love them. Wajalishum. Think about the psychology of why the Prophet ﷺ is telling Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, go sit with poor people. When you sit with people of a different socioeconomic background, you can no longer take what you have for granted. You come back a different person. You come back with a sense of humility, a sense of entitlement, a sense of nobility to do something. I can't just live like this. I must help other people out. That sense will not come unless you interact with the poor. And therefore, my fourth piece of advice, go out of your comfort zone and get involved with people whom you can actually benefit with your smile, benefit with your hug. As the Prophet ﷺ said, go find an orphan and hug him. To literally go and have a hug from an orphan and feel their love for you, feel the comfort you give them. SubhanAllah, it changes everything. And that is more priceless than any check you can write to any organization. The fifth benefit, and this is a sad reality. Tragedies, they bring out the best and the worst of mankind. You know, I could tell you all the beautiful stories and all of the, and that's plenty of, you know, plenty of the stories of heroism, the story of the guy who ran into the building to save complete strangers, people sacrificing their wealth and whatever little they have, and that's all valid and true. But there's also the other side, and I'm saying this because there's lessons for us. During these times of calamities, the worst aspects of humanity also come out. And we hear stories of plundering, of robbery taking place. When people don't have food to eat, they act in very, very inhumane manners. I'm not blaming anybody, but we need to appreciate and be cognizant. In times of tragedy, in times of stress, We see the realities of people. We see how they really are going to act. So the good people become the best of the best. And the bad people become the worst of the worst. In some areas we were told to not go because there are now bandits that are robbing aid that is getting there. I don't blame them. They're hungry. They're starving. They're literally robbing aid workers to feed other people. They're going to take it. Unfortunately, this is a reality of what happens when you're having these types of tragedies. The jahiliyyah comes out again of racism, my nation state versus your nation state, and you're aware there are multiple ethnicities living there. What's going to happen when one group is getting, another group feels this and that? Subhanallah, I learned as well that perhaps of the wisdoms of these calamities coming down, as Allah says in the Quran, لِيَمِيزَ اللَّهُ الْخَبِيثَ مِنَ الطَّيِّبِ. So Allah can separate the filthy from the pure. Because those people whose hearts are evil and bad, they show mankind how evil they are. And in that, they will get what Allah Azza wa Jalla will give unto them. And those people that are good, subhanAllah, they rise in their ranks and they become the best of the best, almost angels walking on earth. And perhaps because of that, Allah will give them what Allah will give them. So of the wisdoms, tragedies, calamities, they bring out the best in the best, but they also bring out the worst in the worst. Point number six, brothers and sisters. Point number six. One of the things that I benefited from in this as well is that we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He created us such that we feel ennobled being noble unto others. We feel a sense of doing something useful. We feel motivation when we are helping other people. You know, I don't want to mention too many personal stories, but it was a very tiring trip, very tiring. From Fajr all the way, we got back to the hotel, you know, after midnight some nights. The point is, I got energy. I felt the sense of we're doing something noble. I don't know from where, but when helping other people, you sense Allah Azza wa Jal, inshallah, is rewarding you for what you're doing. The feeling of happiness in serving others, the feeling of nobility in giving khidmah to other human beings, to my Muslim brothers and sisters, that feeling I thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. And this reminded me of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَاللَّهُ فِي عَوْنِ الْعَبْدِ مَا دَامَ الْعَبْدُ فِي عَوْنِ أَخِيهِ. Allah will continue to help His servant as long as the servant is helping other people. Allah will make you feel helped and blessed. Allah will make you feel useful when you make your life useful to other people. When you make your life a service to other people rather than just nafsi, nafsi, rather than myself and my bank account. No, when you help others, you feel a sense of nobility. You feel a sense of Allah's barakah and blessings is upon you. And that's something that we thank Allah for. We thank Allah for, because Allah didn't have to give us that. But He made us feel good when we help other people. And that's exactly what our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us. The best of all mankind, he said, are those who are the most beneficial to mankind. Hadith in Abu Dawood, the best act of worship you can do is to make your brother or sister happy. To increase his happiness is the best act of worship you can do. So I advise all of you to find nobility in service unto other people. And my final point, brothers and sisters, the final benefit is that wallahi, the blessings of being a Muslim, of having iman, of understanding, of being a person who knows the Quran and knows Islamic theology. Alhamdulillah, I don't understand how people of no faith can cope with tragedy. Because the only thing that allows us to cope with tragedy is faith. Faith, iman, it gives us hope when the situation is hopeless. It gives us courage when you would think, why should we be courageous? It gives us optimism in the darkest of times. It allows us to understand, to contextualize. It allows us to think good thoughts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to hope for a better tomorrow, even though today is very bleak. Iman, faith, Islam, it gives us that optimism. When the world is dark, your iman will give you light. When the world is cloudy, when the world gives you nothing but disaster, your iman will give you consolation and comfort and grief. Iman is like a rock. Iman is like an anchor. No matter what tidal wave comes, no matter what tragedy comes, your iman will make you firm and your iman will give you stability and courage. Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With this iman, we can battle any tragedy that comes to us. We can look forward to a better tomorrow, even if not in this world, at least in the next world. How long will tragedies last? How long will calamities maintain? After a while, we're all going to go back. When we have iman, we understand Allah has created life and death. Allah has created good and evil for us so that He can test us. Who does the best of all deeds? So iman gives us something to look forward to. It gives us courage. It gives us optimism. It helps us deal with the stress of life. If we did not have iman, then honestly, I don't understand how people can cope with such tragedy. But we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillahi alladhi hadana lihada wa ma kunna linahtadiya lawla an hadana Allah. Barakallahu wa lakum fi al-Qur'an al-Azim wa nafa'ani wa iyaakum bima fihim al-ayati wa dhikr al-hakim. Aqulu ma tasma'un wa astaghfirullah al-Azim li wa lakum wa li sa'ir al-muslimin min kulli dhanbin fastaghfiruhu innahu huwa al-ghafur al-Rahim. Alhamdulillah al-wahid al-ahad al-samad al-ladhi lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakun lahu kufuwan ahad wa ba'du. Dear Muslims, we are close to Ramadan and the khutbas of Ramadan are going to be starting, and we're going to be reminded of the realities of this blessed month. Perhaps there are people here who might not live to see this Ramadan. Perhaps there are people here who might not finish this Ramadan. Perhaps there are people here for whose Ramadan this is their last Ramadan. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. But now is the time. Still a month left. Now is the time to prepare spiritually and logistically. Now is the time to start thinking and reflecting. What will I accomplish this Ramadan? What are my goals and aims? What do I hope to achieve? What am I going to do? Now is the time as well to logistically, one of the advices I give myself and everybody, start thinking of logistically. Do you have some holidays off you can take for the last 10? You know, is there something you can do to change your schedule so that you can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala better? Is there any Eid shopping you want to do? Do it now. Don't do it in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. These are small logistical things to make life easier for you so that you can maximize on this benefit. Brothers and sisters, Ramadan is the most blessed time of the year. We all know it is a time when sins are forgiven, ranks are raised, Jannah is established for some, people are saved from Jahannam. It is a time of repentance and turning over. It is a time when the evil become righteous and the righteous become even more righteous. So let us utilize this month of Ramadan. Let us prepare ourselves spiritually, emotionally, physically, logistically. Let us think things through. Within a month, Ramadan is starting. Barely 1 month is left and Ramadan is starting. What can I do to make this Ramadan the best Ramadan that I've ever had? And I keep on reminding myself and all of you, every single Ramadan, we strive to go higher and higher. Every Ramadan, we build on the last Ramadan so that inshallah ta'ala, our best Ramadan that we've ever lived is going to be our last Ramadan. That's the goal. Every Ramadan will be better than the previous one. We have to keep on raising the bar because there will be one Ramadan that will be my last and your last. Inevitable. Yaqeen. 100%. There is no doubt about this. There will be a Ramadan that's going to be my last Ramadan and your last Ramadan. If it is to be this Ramadan, well then let's make it the best Ramadan we've ever had so that we can meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the maximum number of deeds. In order to make it the best Ramadan, we need to prepare from now. So think, plan, be prepared, and make this Ramadan the best Ramadan ever. Allahumma inni da'in fa'aminu. Allahumma la tadina fi hadhi al-yawmi dhanban illa ghafarta, wa la hamman illa farajta, wa la daynan illa qadayta, ولا مريضا إلا شفيته ولا عسيرا إلا يسرته. اللهم اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا. ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم من أرادنا أو أراد الإسلام والمسلمين بسوء فاشغله بنفسه واجعل تدميره في تدبيره يا قوي يا عزيز. عباد الله، إن الله تعالى أمركم بأمر بدأ به بنفسه وثنى بملائكة قدسه وثلث بكم أيها المؤمنون من جنه وإنسه، فقال عز من قائل عليما: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وأنعم على عبدك رسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. عباد الله، إن الله تعالى يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروه يزد لكم ولذكر الله تعالى أكبر وأقم الصلاة.
فيا ذلي ويا خجلي إذا ما قال لي ربي أما استحييته تعصيني ولا تخشى من العتب وتخفي الذنب عن خلقي وتأبى في الهوى قربي فتب مما جنيت عسى تعود إلى رضا الرب تعود إلى رضا الرب.